Okay, go ahead.
Ready.
Okay, thank you. So we'll call this meeting to order at 6:04. We'll start with a roll call vote for attendance. Mr. Corson. You're muted, John. Still muted.
There we go. I'm here.
Thank you. Ms. Damon?
Here.
Mr. Dyer?
Here.
Mr. Hill?
Here.
And Mr. Main is at least half here.
It just occurred to me, Herb, I don't know if you'll be able to share your screen if that was your intent tonight.
I think I can, but we may not have to. In fact, let me just try that.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Yeah. The share screen works.
Yeah. It's just the camera. It's something in the laptop setting.
Okay.
But I'm gonna. Okay. And we have three attendees.
At the moment.
Okay. So introducing the other members, the participating members. Marjorie, would you just unmute and acknowledge that you're here?
Here.
Thank you. And Christine, clerk, would you do the same?
I'm here.
Okay. We can all hear and be heard, even if I can't be seen. Okay. So are there public comments from the four attendees? For items that are not on the agenda, you can raise your hand and I will recognize you at this time. Okay, seeing none, we will go to the next agenda item, which is the town reports. Marjorie, go ahead.
Okay. Do we need to have that screen up there, or do you want the agenda? Anyway, so under the town administrator's report, we have heard from Secretary of State and the governor, our election on July 14th will be by both at the polls and by absentee ballot, so it'll be pretty normal for us. That's what we usually do. We suspect that a lot more people will vote absentee. That's okay. The thing that's really up in the air still is our annual town meeting, which we have scheduled for July 11th. Right now, the state's still saying that we can't have a meeting with more than 50 people. And we're just hoping, we're not the only town that's dealing with this. So we're just hoping that we'll get some additional guidance. I've been brainstorming with Herb and some other people about ways we could do it, about having some people at one site at the hall, and maybe having other people at the rec center, for instance, in the gym, trying to encourage non-voters to go to one site, and then, you know, have our techie people set up something so people can all see the moderator, something like that, or setting up a tent or something outside of the hall. But I think we're going to have to be creative unless the state allows us to have more than 50 people. The fire department is working on an outside decontamination unit. This is on the back side of the building, and this will allow our EMTs to, I think the point is that they want to have a shower out there so that people can take their clothing off. The EMTs that will possibly be transporting a COVID-19 patient, and they can decontaminate outside before they even enter the building. So we're getting estimates on that. Another letter was issued from the town administrator on May 15th, trying to soften our message a little bit. We have been getting a lot of feedback from people that normally are here in the summer, that our messages have been sounding pretty negative and they don't feel like they're welcome at all. So we try to give people the facts, but then say, look, if you're going to come, you know, just call us and we'll help you, guide you through what's going on the island right now. But you've got to make up your own mind about what's best for you. The CART committee has been having conversations with Kip Webb and Jim Cox Chapman, two physicians that are not here on the island right now, but they're helping to guide our message from a public health perspective. And they're anxious to help the island if we want to move toward a testing and contact tracing plan. More to come on that. We will be reopening the town office to the public on June 1st. We've ordered a plexiglass shield to put up on the counter, and we'll be adding some additional safety measures, one person at a time. Please wear a mask. Things that other offices and town offices are doing. Any questions on that aspect, things that are happening with the CART committee or anything?
Anybody?
Can you see us?
Yes, I can.
What?
I can see you.
Okay.
You're frozen.
Yeah, Donna's frozen. Donna?
I can see my hand waving.
Yeah, we can hear you now. Go ahead, you have the floor.
Okay. I think I'm challenging this Zoom today. I'm not surprised. I just want to reemphasize what Marjorie said. We're working really hard trying to get a message across the facts of, you know, when you come, how, what's the best way to come, going to come, and also describing what it's like when you get here. And I don't know whether there's more of a rumor mill in between who aren't on the island or whatever, but people are concerned that we're allowing people from Cumberland County without quarantining, but we're not letting people from other places when Cumberland County is our hotspot. We tried to explain, you know, how the works, and we tried to explain that just, you know, if you have to kind of quarantine for 14 days, it's not the end of the world. I'm really worried about how this is going to impact relationships between the people who live here year round and maybe some of our summer friends and relatives who don't understand, you know, where we're coming from. And the communications people are doing a great job. Marjorie's doing a great job. I just don't, and you know, they're trying it from various aspects, from Kim, they have another one that may be coming out, another series that people have been working on. You know, it's just one of those things that I wish that I had a magic wand. Don't know what we do. A thing that we've got to be really thinking about.
Okay, thank you, Donna. You do seem to have maybe perhaps a bandwidth problem. You were cutting out. I think we got most of what you said. You may want to shut off your video, like I have, and it may improve your audio.
Okay, I'm at the museum now because it wouldn't work, and David Hill has it. And so, if anybody wants to know why museum may need to have a better internet, this is one of the reasons.
Yeah. Tell that to the recompense fund, please.
Okay. Jay, you have the floor. And Donna, since I can't see you and if you need to speak, please just speak up. Go ahead, Jay.
I just wanted to take a brief moment and say, Marjorie, it was a terrific letter. It resonated well among friends of ours. and was clear, warm, welcoming. Great job.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I would agree. Thank you, Jay. Mark?
I have been approached by someone from that committee, and I've been asked, I guess there's some sort of a thing going out where Marjorie was going to be asked to say something. I think Ralph's got something in there, so on and so forth. And I've been asked to possibly read Marjorie's section if she's not comfortable with it. And I'm not sure. I'm not sure that I'm comfortable reading it. It's not that I see anything wrong with it. I just told this individual that's not my strength. My strength is singing.
Put the music, Mark.
If they're understudy, Mark, Marjorie's understudy will get you a wig. This could be really good.
I will. If they still want somebody to do it, I will. I mean, I was just some days I'm just not. I'm not there. You know, I get a lot of calls. I talk to a lot of people.
Yeah.
I don't try to walk people through what they can do and what the state guidelines are. And I think when I was called upon to read something about it was about staying safe and washing your hands and that whole disinfecting and washing your hands, and I just suggested that somebody that was in a better mood than I was could read it or could present it better than I could. I wasn't in a proper frame of mind at that particular day, but I'm happy to help out if they still want. But I think it's pretty near completion. I saw a pretty complete version of it just tonight. So it's very nice, and it's very close to completion. It's very, very well done. I'm happy to read something, but I'm going to have to put my own spin on it. It seemed pretty, I don't know. Nobody wants to hear me tell them to wash their hands for the 100th time, you know.
Yeah, that's your prerogative.
Maybe I would make it into a song or, you know.
Yeah, it's your prerogative, Marjorie. You do what you feel you need to do with that. David, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to say that at that care meeting that we had earlier this week, that there was one person who was quite vocal in his displeasure with I don't know if he used the word attitude, but that's the word that I'll use, that he didn't feel welcome, and that there was no reason for this shutdown, and where he came from, there were hardly any victims, if you will, positive cases, which doesn't mean that they're not possible here, but for some reason that didn't quite resonate. So I do think that there is a need to continue to make that communication that we don't want to not see our friends and relatives. I mean, I can look out my window and practically see my daughter's house, but I haven't seen her in 2 months. And that's just something we're going to have to live through. Any ideas that anybody has to get the word out? I mean, I think we're doing a pretty good job, the communications committee in particular, getting the word out to people, but they have to read it. They have to see it. And any ideas that anybody has as to how to make that a more public thing than we already have with, you know, Beverly's website and Chip Emery's website, you know, let's see what we can do.
Okay. Anybody else? I notice Erica has her hand up, and I'm going to let her speak unless it's another board member that wants to say anything regarding the COVID-19 report. All right. Let's see if I can. David, I'm not sure you promoted me to. You may have to enable her.
Okay. Let me do that. Then I'll promote you.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Hi, Erica. You're muted. Can you unmute?
Okay, hang on a second.
Maybe David can unmute her.
I think I can.
Unmute. There we go.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
You're on.
Thank you all so much. I just wanted to clarify, we were recruiting talent. If the talent was resistant, we understand that. We, as Marjorie said, yes, we are looking for all the different ways to get the message out. And there will be a, when you get home tonight, you'll have the kind of the final cut of the movie we're calling The Quiet Summer. And you did get an early outline of it that looked like it was scripted, but it wasn't scripted. But the idea being that we are, the first phase was to answer a lot of what and how we can face COVID. And now this spirit is why. Why are we doing any of what we're doing? Which is more cultural, and the delicate messages that Donna talked about, which is how people are interpreting why we should make the decisions we're doing. So this is sort of a cultural message, and there'll be more, and I'll track you down to try to get you all in there. And if you have any questions or comments, like David said, I think I can speak for Beverly and Lila, and we're very, very open to creative messages and criticism and feedback to what we can be doing to calm everyone down and inform them and make them still feel loved and enjoy the island this summer.
Okay. Thank you, Erica. So I think, Marjorie, you've done your COVID-19. Do you have more of the town administrator's report to go through?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
I just wanted you all to know that I do have bound copies of the June 30th, 2019 audit report that are available. Herb, for instance, has asked me to send him an electronic copy of that, but if anybody wants a copy, just let me know. The state has now reinstated the need to register vehicles. Previously, they'd said that people didn't have to register their vehicles, autos and boats, until some period of time after the emergency ended. But now they're saying that if your registration has expired, then 30 days from the date of that order, which would be June 12th, you have to have your vehicles registered. And I don't know if anybody read that Maine Municipal Association memo from the Maine Municipal Association Legal Services about different things that the municipal officers can do. One of the things was about, which I don't know if we discussed it at a selectman's meeting, but I know I've talked to people about it, extending the due dates of property taxes. I don't think that we need to do that. I've already collected 95% of the 2020 property taxes. I don't have to start the lien process until August, and then there's another 18 months after that before we even begin to foreclose. And our foreclosure process is, very geared toward helping the property owner get that property back. So I really don't think we need to do anything. I guess some towns early on extended their due dates and waived interest and things like that, but I really don't think we need to go there because we've already collected the majority of taxes this year. And then Jackie, our assessor, was here yesterday. And as you know, or hopefully you know, our ratio has gone down to 75%. And one of the things that does is it means that people that have a homestead exemption will not get the full $25,000 exemption because our ratio is so low. So what she's going to do is, across the board, increase property values by 25% to bring us up back up to the 100%. It should not affect people's tax bills, because theoretically when the values go up, the tax rate will go down. But it will afford our residents the full amount of the exemption of the homestead and the veterans exemption. So we are going to do that before taxes are committed this year. Does anyone have any questions about that?
Mark, go ahead. Mark and then Donna. I hear you, Donna.
Marjorie, if our values are increased, does that have any effect on our county tax, or is that a different basis?
The county goes by the state valuation. So they're using the state valuation already.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Donna?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I think this makes sense right now because we're not in any position to do a revaluation to kind of, even though things that were mistakes. But I think that it would be good to start publicizing that so that people don't think that, so they'll understand that if there's any change in the taxes, it has nothing to do with the change in the valuation. I think it's like a public relations campaign.
Yeah, I talked about that, and Herb came over. I think we talked about doing any kind of a notification, and the assessor's opinion was that we didn't really have to do that, that it probably would not affect the tax bills, but I can certainly try to write up a simple statement.
Yeah, I just think that, if we get out in front of it, then it may eliminate some calls when people get their tax bills.
Okay.
I think the main piece that's going on there is that if your tax bill goes up, you're going to start looking for reasons, and you may notice your valuation has gone up. If your tax bill hasn't gone up, you're probably not going to look. So it's kind of a catch-22. Either we're going to create a lot of calls by putting it out there, or, a lot of calls are going to happen for other reasons. So I don't know. I can go either way with it. I'm tempted with everything else that's going on to not try to get a message out there that could cause as much confusion as it tries to solve, and let Jackie simply field the questions, when they come in. But I'll go with whatever the board wants to do. Anybody else have an opinion on that? Mark and then Jay.
So Marjorie, would this take effect before we do our piece of paper that figures the mill rate?
Correct.
And so we may have to make an adjustment to the mill rate at that point.
It should actually go down.
That's what I mean.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Thank you.
Jay? You're muted, Jay.
Sorry about that. I would just let it go. I think that there's enough going on in our lives as it is, and I think you're right that people look at what's my tax bill, is it up or down? They don't look at the valuation. They may get around to looking at the valuation at some point, but they're really interested in what's their tax bill. And if they call, the simple answer is everybody went up, so it didn't change anybody's taxes. And it was all up exactly, proportionally. So I'd leave it alone.
Okay. Any other thoughts? Okay. Okay.
And then I just had the treasurer's report.
Okay. If you don't mind, actually, I'm going to try to reboot my computer while you give the treasurer's report. So, David, if you could look for me again, please don't wait for me. Go ahead, and I've already looked it over, and I don't have any questions. If you could go ahead and give that report, I'm going to just like totally shut down, reboot, see if this thing comes out. Okay, thank you.
So everything's reconciled through April 30th. As I said, we've collected most of the property taxes, so our bank account is up over $1 million, and we also have our reserve fund at $1,308,000. We're starting to collect a little bit of vehicle excise tax, even with the governor's previous order allowing people not to. As of this report, I had collected 94.2% of the taxes, but I have gotten quite a bit in even since this report. during the early part of May. So for this year, the motor vehicle excise tax is down 7.6% from the same time last year. And I think that's just indicative of the times and also because of the executive order that the governor had put out previously. The transfer station revenue is way down. It's down 25% from the previous year, which I don't know, doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me unless there's a lot less building going on. But not sure about that. Let's see. So in terms of the budget report, I don't see any problems. We should be at about 83% of the budget expended. I think we've already talked about some of these things. The assessor budget was slightly over because we spent more on updating the tax maps than we had budgeted. The legal services, we've already transferred $5,000 from contingency, but I think we still need to keep an eye on that. Let's see. I don't see any problems. Does anybody have any questions having reviewed the budget report? Did you see anything? Mark is my guy for looking that over carefully.
I haven't seen any red flags.
Okay. I think that's all I have. Unless, where did you want to talk, Mark? Where did you want to talk about the all states under the budget?
I think that's the appropriate place.
Okay. That's all I have. Is Herb, did Herb make it back in?
I'm back, but my camera is broken, so I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, Herb is still anonymous.
Yeah, and Zoom is not detecting a camera, so I apologize.
So Herb, Marjorie just finished up her treasurer's report, and we didn't have any questions unless you do, and then you can take over.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate you filling in. Go ahead, David.
I was just going to, two things. First of all, I want to get you back as a co-host. And, okay, that's done. And then I also wanted to give a quick update on my communications with the Maine CDC. I've had a couple of good responses from the Maine CDC, literally within a half an hour of me sending information, plus she called me twice last Sunday and told me that her first day off since February was coming up the next day. So she's been very responsive. Unfortunately, I think what's going on is there's an awful lot of other stuff going on, and we're, with our one case, probably not going to rise to the level of attention too quickly. But if I could just read this letter.
This is regarding testing, David? Is that
regarding testing as well as the whole idea of contact tracing.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
So let me read this. Yep. I shared your request along with background on our conversation with leadership at Maine CDC. I have not yet heard a specific response, but we'll let you know as soon as I do. Maine CDC are responding to several outbreaks currently. For now, I suggest you promote the prevention messaging we discussed, including frequent hand washing, distancing, and wearing face coverings in public spaces. And certainly, I think we're doing that. And then, and this is kind of the tip off, are there any new cases that you've heard about on Shabig? And I think that's where she's asking, is it getting any worse, or are you still at one? So I'll continue to communicate with her and see what we can do to get some testing on island, especially now that the state has more facilities for testing, thanks to IDEX. But that's about where it stands at the moment.
Yeah, but a bit of a strange question, because we wouldn't know the answer to that. They would know better than we.
Not necessarily.
Whether there are new cases on the island.
Yeah.
They should.
Yeah. Well,
but anyways,
maybe not she personally. But
we appreciate your legwork on this, David.
Well, you're quite welcome. I'll stay on it.
Thank you. Okay. Let's go on to the first regular agenda item, which is 21045. And that is regarding the budget. Now, I have on the agenda that to try to consider this as a final budget. I would like to do that just to get the any outstanding issues to the forefront here. It's going to be a moving target until we figure out town meeting, obviously, but I don't want to get squeezed at the end of the process. The ability to do town meeting might come quick, and I want to be ready for it and don't want to have to jam Marjorie into doing warrant articles and so forth. So the goal here is to finalize the budget as soon as we can. If that's tonight, that's great. If it's not, we will figure it out. But I want to keep that process moving. So with that, are there any questions from the board on the budget that was in the packet? And I have a couple, so I can start. I think I will, since I'm useless visually here, I think I will share the budget for the group. Okay, you should be able to see the budget. Can everybody see it?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. So I had a question on, I think it's page 3. Of course, my highlight moved up to the top of the page somehow. The intention was to highlight 5,000 contract services. Is this the account from which we used the funds to pay for the fire watch? Is that why no. that?
No.
Okay. What did elevate that the cost of that from, you know, it's been 2,000, 3,000, 4,000. Last year was, we budgeted.
That's that town of Yarmouth wanted the extra money for coming, bringing their ambulance to pick up our patients.
Thank you for the reminder. That is true. So where did we take the money for the fire watch from? Where did that get posted? What account did that get posted against?
It was last year under wages.
Ah, okay.
But it's been an accounts receivable in the financial statements.
This year.
So at the end of the financial statements that I have right now, fiscal year ending June 30th, 2019, it shows as an accounts receivable. It doesn't show up in the budget anywhere.
Right.
It's already been recorded as a receivable. Is that what you mean?
That is what I mean, and that answers the question. I appreciate it. The other question I had, if I can find it again, since my highlights have moved here, is 4,600, which is contribution. Oh yeah, 4,600, Shabig Rec Center and Kids Place. I remember having a discussion about sort of removing the Kids Place line item and just incorporating it all into Shabig Rec Center. But I can't remember how we ended up with that conversation or how the board.
I don't remember either. I guess I took that to mean that I was only supposed to have one article instead of the two, or I'm not supposed to separate it out as a separate article, which we have been doing for the last 2 years.
Right. Yeah, you're probably right. Is the recommendation to keep the two accounts separate, or would we combine those at some point, either now or in the future?
I think they should be separate just because of how it entered into the town budget. Okay. And I just think for the taxpayers, for the people out there, whether they're for or against putting the money in, at least they know, what it's going for.
And how do you feel about the warrant then? Would you think it should be in the warrant the same way, or would they be combined in the warrant as we talked about?
I don't know. I'm beginning to think they should just be separate.
Okay. Mark, I saw your hand and then Jay.
I think your thinking was right for this year, at least. I think that there would be separate warrant articles for the rec center contribution and the kids' place contribution. But I think we did talk about after the rec center gives us a report of how they're retweaking and managing their operation, that we may consider moving them into one lump sum company.
I thought they did that.
Oh, they already did?
Well, they gave us the report, but they're still working on their strategic plan. Maybe that's what you're talking about, Mark.
That's kind of what I'm thinking about. So I don't think we've quite gotten there yet, Herb, is what I'm...
Okay. Well, tonight it'll be important for us to give us some direction to Marjorie so she knows which direction to go in, because I was up in the air and about what we had done. Jay, go ahead.
My thought was, and I think I've got this right, is that we leave the kids' place as a separate line, along with the rec center as a separate line, but it's all part and parcel, not separate warrant items.
I think that is where we left the conversation.
Yeah, I think that's where it ought to be.
Okay. Marjorie, go ahead.
I'm okay.
Okay. Anybody else, any objections to that?
I still think they should be separate, but I'm just one person.
Separate on the town warrant?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay, for now, that's the direction then, sort of by general consensus. That's, I think, all I had. We could have some discussions about the, in the capital budget, where is that? Right here. We do have $20,000 of new money in the revaluation reserve, actually $20,200. Does what Jackie is proposing right now change anything on that number in terms of what we might need to put for a future revaluation?
I mean, it's a good question. What she's doing will bring the ratio up, but I mean, so the last, the last time I talked to the auditor that comes from the state, she advised us to have a total revaluation sooner rather than later. But she was concerned about our falling ratio numbers. So I'd have to revisit that.
Yeah, isn't that the basic metric that they use to suggest that we need to revalue is our ratio? I mean, they don't look at the fairness. What we should be looking is the fairness.
They look at a good sample of sales. And they look at the sales and see where we are. And right now, all of the sales that we have, properties are selling for much more than we have them valued at. So,
but this
if for instance next year they're still finding there's large differences between the sale prices or the fair market value and our valuations, they may continue to ask us to move toward a revaluation.
But this, so and they're using the state valuation, or they're using, so is this going to affect that decision in their mind? I mean.
As I said, I'd have to revisit the conversation with them.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
I guess I'm just, because I can't raise my hand here. But
yeah, go ahead.
My feeling is that we should be thinking, as Jackie suggests, sooner rather than later. Because, for example, if you've increased the valuation on my house by 25%, but in reality, a house like mine would only sell for 5% more, then I'm paying 20% more than what I should be paying. And that's why you have a revaluation. That's why you do a full-blown revaluation rather than just an adjustment. And I'm fine with doing the adjustment for a year or so. But, I think that that's where you get into the fairness thing. Because if you're just raising everybody that amount, eventually it's going to catch up with people.
Yeah. I agree. I don't disagree with that. I was, to be quite honest with you, I was kind of looking for some money to get the the budget back down a little bit because I didn't feel like I could vote for the broadband thing last time, and I would have been much happier if we had taken $10,000 out of that fund and moved it to broadband rather than just increasing it 10. But it's not a big number, and it's not worth too much discussion, but I was just exploring that.
I think you'd be fine reducing that. I mean, we're transferring it into a reserve fund.
Right. Well, it's up to the board. I'd be happy doing that and would feel better about it, but it's up to the board. We, as a bottom line, let me flip down to the bottom line. Where is the bottom line?
51
what? Oh, 51 minus down 51,000. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Right. So, and we know it should be more like, for flat funding, it should be more like $110,000. And we're contributing some, and the school is contributing some. So, again, $10,000 isn't going to make a huge difference. It was sort of more a philosophical thing in my mind than anything. Mark, did you have some? Go ahead.
Could I ask Marjorie, what did you mean take 10,000 off of the entire budget or what?
Reduce the revaluation reserve amount to 10,200, I think is what Herb is saying.
Oh, yeah. Was that your proposal, Herb?
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
But, you know, we're robbing Peter to pay Paul, so we can make a decision. I mean, right this year, and I know we have a philosophical discussion on how we look at this 100,000 from last year, but that 100,000 was a one-time deal. We've had other expenses, or we've had income that was a one-time deal. The bottom line is people are going to see their taxes go down. We can explain to them why they're going down, and that fact that we are still operating is going up. But I think that with the revaluation the way it was done the last time, and the fact that we have something looming, we should have enough money in that account so that we can do it right this time.
Jay?
Marjorie, my question is for you. How much does proper reevaluation cost us?
Well, I think we have an estimate of 75,000. Isn't that in our capital plan?
That's usually around that.
Okay.
Are you looking for the number, Marjorie?
75,000 is what we were estimating as a cost.
And what's our balance?
Balance currently is 5,000.
Yeah, so practically nothing in there.
Yeah, I would leave the 20,000.
Yeah. We have 14,500 in that reserve right now.
I would still leave the 20,000.
Okay, thank you, Jay. David?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, backing up what Donna said, the rule of thumb is in a revaluation, 25% of the properties go down, 25% go up, 50% stay roughly the same. The point being that the 25% who are taking a hit, it's really kind of unfair to be putting them off too long. So let's keep it in the back of our minds for next year when I hope the situation is that we can do this more comfortably with the population.
Yep, I'm fine with that. Thanks for the discussion. Anybody else with items for the budget? Marjorie, go ahead.
I still may have to tweak the home on the revenue side, the homestead reimbursement calculation. I mean, that kind of changes right up to the last minute, depending on how the commitment figures come out. And I don't know where state revenue sharing stands. I went on yesterday when Jackie was here, and they're still estimating that Shabig will get $25,878, but most towns or most managers that I talk to, and again, that's not a lot of money one way or another. But it's still revenue I'm not sure we're going to get.
Yeah, Understood. And we generally kind of underestimate the revenue. Is that true?
Yes. I try to be pretty conservative. I reduced the anticipated motor vehicle excise down to 87.
Right.
We've been taking in about 112,000, but I'm anticipating a reduction there. And okay. I think I put in less for transfer station as well.
Yeah, I recall a couple of items like that. Mark, go ahead.
Andre, do you feel that we're in good shape with our share of account 9010 dredging in case we are able to achieve that dredging up at Stone Wharf with the channel?
Well, given the history of the Army Corps, you know, when they give us an estimate of what the cost is going to be, you know, I'm not really comfortable that we're going to have enough, because they always come back and say, well, I know we said it was going to be that much, but
yeah,
now it's going to be this much.
Okay. So right now we have around $110,000, I believe, roughly. It's not a big deal. Thank you.
We have 101,000.
And I think it started out at 50,000, but after 10 years that we've been doing this, that's what happens.
Yep. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Now, there were a couple of items that sort of have come across our radar as cost items, and I don't think they're big things, but Marjorie reported in her administrator's report that the fire department is talking about a project for a decontamination or disinfection area. We don't have an estimate for that. We don't even have a ballpark as far as I know. And we don't have any funding for it. So if we were to finalize this tonight and leave it that way, that funding would have to come from one of the other reserves for the fire department or from some other source. I encouraged Chief Monroe to look for grants to do this sort of thing. And that's another discussion that we probably ought to have at some point is how, you know, what are our resources for pursuing grants? Can we find somebody who might be interested in helping us pursue grants instead of burdening the town staff to do that sort of legwork? So I just kind of throw that out there as a reminder. I know of another, a very small item, the Harbor Master skiff, I think, is in need of replacement. And I believe Marjorie is doing some legwork with Coastal Waters to see what they think we need to do with that. It's not a huge number. It's under $10,000, probably. But there are a few things like that. So I just want to put those things in your ear and see if there's any other ideas like that that people think we may not have addressed in the context of what we're doing. And then I'm going to ask for a vote to finalize this budget.
Herb, on yes. That fire department thing, when do they plan to do that? Are they going to do it in this fiscal year or in next summer?
My understanding is that they'd like to do it as soon as possible.
Well, is there any money, extra money in their budget that some of it could come out of this year's budget if they have a surplus?
Plus, I believe there is.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, because oftentimes there's extra money in there. So I was wondering if some could come out of that, and if all else fails, then they could take a little bit out of their reserve account. Because I would hate to have them wait and have to wait until July anyway. And if they can get it out of this fiscal year, that would be great.
Yeah, we sort of talked over those things, and I think there is some wiggle room there. I'm just sort of putting the bug in your ear. I'm not suggesting we even change anything. Just kind of, it was really as much to get you thinking along the lines of like, this is maybe our last, hopefully our last shot at this, and just sort of rerun the rerun the tape through your minds again about what our needs are going to be.
Regarding the skiff for the Habermaster, is there any money in the reserve fund for boat replacement or anything like that?
Yeah, there's $10,000.
So there's enough money to cover it if, in fact, we want to do it. Okay. All right, I'm good with that.
Yes. Okay. Hearing no further discussion, I will take a motion if anybody would like to offer one. David.
Yeah, I'd like to move that we tentatively approve the budget for 2020 to 2021, subject to any radical changes that might happen between now and the final execution of the budget.
What do you mean by the final execution of the budget?
Well, I mean, I'm just trying to say that if something comes up, the things are changing so fast in this world that I don't want to lock us in if next week something comes up that we really feel we should change it.
Well,
but I would say that this is the budget unless an emergency comes up.
Okay. If I'd like you to consider just calling it the final budget so that we can give Marjorie a sort of some strong guidance.
Then let's make it that.
And we can certainly undo anything we do along those lines.
Yeah, there's really no reason. That does go without saying. I'll just simply move that we approve the budget as drafted.
I appreciate that, David. Thank you.
I'll second.
Thank you, Mark. Okay, I will take a roll call vote. Actually, I'll ask for a discussion on the motion.
We either have a hand up or a hand that remains up.
Yeah, I see Erica, but I'm asking for the board discussion first. Okay, seeing no discussion. Erica, I'm going to allow you to talk. Assume your hand's up for this item. You're muted right now.
Yes, can you hear me?
We can.
I just had a question, and it's related to what David said. The last meeting, Marjorie mentioned that a lot of the towns were cutting their budgets, and I didn't know if there was a general message from the board about, in light of the national economic impact of the COVID economic impact, the rise in unemployment, small businesses, bankruptcies, small businesses, you know, closing, what the philosophy is from the town's perspective. I guess it's more of a history. What happened in 2002, 2007, 2008, when there was a recession, how that impacted. I think it's just the philosophy behind this. And I don't know if it's possible to have a statement, if that would be helpful for the public to understand your reasoning behind it.
Okay, Marjorie, go ahead.
Well, I think what I hear from the board primarily is that we'd like to keep the mill rate the same. So that's been our goal. And also, I would be much stronger with the board with the budget if we didn't have we have a healthy undesignated fund balance. In other words, or what the state calls their rainy day fund, if you will. I don't, you know, people call it different things. It's an undesignated fund balance to me. So we're okay financially. I guess that's all I wanted to say, that's what I've heard from the selectmen. I think there's maybe places that they could cut, but I think we're okay financially. We have strong financial statements, and what I hear from them primarily is that they'd like to try to keep the tax rate the same or very close to the same as it was the previous year.
Thank you, Marjorie. David?
Yeah, I agree with that. I'd also like to point out, as Marjorie stated earlier, we've already collected 90% of the taxes already due. And I think what's happening in a lot of other towns is they got caught with their pants down, so to speak, and were worried about collecting the taxes currently. Also, the larger towns especially are much more dependent on other sources of income, parking revenues, for example, parking meters, parking garages. There's just all sorts of ways that municipalities would be bringing in revenue that we don't really depend upon hardly at all. So I'm comfortable, as I say, I'm cautious along with everybody else, but I'm comfortable that we're okay for the time being.
To answer Erica's question about what did we do in the 2008 recession, if I remember correctly, at the end, we became a town in 2007 at the end of our first year, and I'm probably way off, but it seems like we had about $500,000 left over or something. We had an incredible amount of money left over because we had no idea when we were budgeting what we were actually going to spend. I mean, we had an idea, but
we budgeted everything very high, luckily.
Yeah, we did. And so we had money left over, which, you know, gave us that cushion with the undesignated fund balance that Marjorie referred to. So because of the timing, I don't remember us having a problem getting the taxes in 08, 09, 10, or maybe somebody else does, but I don't remember that.
I don't think we've ever had a problem with getting taxes in. We've always had really good response from people. So I do agree that fiscally we're on very sound territory. That initial, and you're right, it was about $400,000, that initial undesignated fund balance. Of course, a lot of that was because a couple hundred thousand dollars worth of that was because we had assumed we were going to have to start paying our bond payments.
Right.
And then the next year we went and spent that. And then when the bond payment got due, we ended up having to re-get that money because we had already spent it. So I wouldn't tout the $400,000 too much, but generally speaking, we've done a very good job as a town of managing it, and our citizens have done an excellent job of supporting the town and, of course, themselves in doing that in our structure. Mark, did you have your hand up?
Yeah, thank you, Herb. In response to Erica's question, Erica, we also have had numerous budget meetings this year where we've gone down through both the operating budget and the capital improvement budget line by line, looking for some places to trim and be efficient. And we've been a little bit successful at that, in my opinion, which we try to do every year. We have not considered any furloughs or any position changes of any kind for personnel. But I think overall our efficiency is in a pretty good place, and I'm pretty comfortable with this budget.
And so just to wrap up on Erica's question, the philosophy, our philosophy as a board really hasn't changed much, and everybody's comments, I think, just reflected that. Because of the COVID-19 pandemic and the insulation that Marjorie talks about and a few other things sort of speaks to that. But that is where we're at. We have not tried to slash the budget, assuming that there would be less revenue going into next year. And I hope we don't regret that decision. There are certainly people who will have less disposable cash next year because they couldn't earn it this year. We'll just have to see how that all pans out and how all that works. Erica, did that address your question?
That so addressed my question. And as someone who's so grateful for the service that you all do, I think that given the anxiety in our community, every answer that you just gave about the calmness, about the fiducial the fiscal responsibility, that the state of our union is strong in this town, that you've thought it through, that it's almost counter-recessionary in a year that, I mean, I know you don't want to say that you had a surplus in 2008, but I think that reassuring message would go very, very far with people right now because they're worried about so many things. And I didn't know that until you just said that. I've always felt that as a taxpayer and a member of this community, but as a message coming from you, I think I just applaud you, and I think it would go very far with the community to know all of those, that every point each of you made, I think, would be very well received when the anxiety was only going to be raising higher and higher, unfortunately, I think, as we move into July. And when you have the town meeting, someone, I think, should say that. So thank you all very much. That really answered my question.
Appreciate your comments. Okay. So we have a motion on the table. If there's no further comment from the public or from the board, seeing none, I will take a roll call vote. Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Main is a yes, passes unanimous. Thank you all for your support, and thank you especially Marjorie for your hard work in preparing that budget.
You're welcome.
Okay, the next topic is not unrelated. It is the annual town meeting warrants, and I'm going to put up there on the screen a memo from Marjorie. And Marjorie, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and introduce the concepts in that memo, if you would.
So I'm going to recommend that the annual town meeting that we have scheduled right now for July 11th be a pretty bare bones town meeting with just the operating budget. Of course, it's always up to the board what they want to see on the annual town meeting warrant, but I don't know what to expect with this meeting, and I don't think we want to have a lot of things on the warrant that are going to, you know, where we anticipate a lot of discussion. Usually the operating budget, the school budget, and the town budget certainly has discussion, but not an inordinate amount. You know, our budget usually passes pretty well. I think they know how hard the selectmen have worked going through line by line, so most people feel comfortable with it. So that's going to be my recommendation, that we just put the articles in to pass the budget and get that passed. And then if we want to have a special town meeting for these items that are listed, such as the land transfer and the drainage easements and any ordinances that need work, I don't know how you feel. I mean, the candidates forum may be important for this meeting because we don't have any nomination papers out there. So that's one thing we might want to think about allowing. But these things that I have listed here really don't need to be on the warrant or to be addressed. And that's my recommendation for the warrant itself. And then I did want to talk a little bit about the articles that set the due dates and the interest rates. But is that another conversation?
Yeah, let's okay. Let's have that in a second. Let's talk about this. We did at a previous meeting, we talked about this some, and we did think about putting in there some of the land transfer items. And I guess what I agree with Marjorie, I think that the leaner we can run this town meeting, probably the safer it will be. And the better attendance we'll get, and just the better, you know, the better meeting and the least anxiety. So I agree that a bare bones session is in order. And we can add in other things, you know, up until the time we have to post this just before town meeting, we could add other things in at another time. But I'm suggesting that we give Marjorie the guidance to do just what she's recommending, and that is do a bare bones warrant as our default right now. And then as time goes forward in the next month or so, the next few weeks, if we want to put things back in, or if people are feeling better about meetings, or if we come up with a a logistical plan that people are comfortable with for fully participating in town meeting, then we can revisit some of these things. So I'll take other thoughts on that. David and then Mark.
Yeah, in general, I agree with Herb's remarks. One item here that does stand out, though, to me is the drainage easement on Firehouse Road. That's been a problem for several years, as we know. It just seems that that might be a delay that we don't necessarily need to take on at this point. Is there a particular reason why we would want to not do that at this time?
Marjorie?
I don't think we need the easements to do the work that we want to do on Firehouse Road. Is that the concern?
Yes, yeah, that's exactly.
Mark can weigh in on that, but.
I mean, I thought that the easements were needed in order to put in the culverts, and we wouldn't want to do the road until we had the culverts in. I thought that was all tied together, but I certainly may be mistaken.
What do you think, Mark?
Go ahead, Mark.
That specific situation that you're referring to, David and Marjorie, I agree with Marjorie. We can go ahead if the people give us permission to have the funding that we're going to have in our budget for 2021, then we can go ahead and resurface Firehouse Road without completing all of that physical work with the drainage easement with Roy Jackson and John Riley. Now, having said that, and I don't want to get too carried away, but the culvert that does feed that may have to be reset or removed after a discussion that I had and a look that I had today on Firehouse Road. And I've sent you all an email, which I'll talk about in other business. So does that answer your question, David?
I think it does, as long as it doesn't delay improvements for both the road and the people seeking relief from the drainage problems.
Yeah, and one other aspects on the drainage problem is that the piece of property, there's that triangular piece of property just below Roy Jackson's, where a good amount of the water is going to dump onto, that is currently in foreclosure. And waiting for that to go through might allow us to do more work on that property, you know, when the time comes. Anybody else have anything? Go ahead, Donna.
Yeah, I think that we should keep in the about the candidates forum. I think we should give, you know, people a couple of minutes if they're willing to run to say something. And the other thing that's not on this list is letting people who are non-residents speak. And I think that should definitely stay in. And maybe that was the intent anyway. But usually we have that at the beginning of the warrant. And regarding the drainage on Firehouse Road, I know that culvert was put in about 25 to 26 years ago. So it's been in there for quite a while.
Meaning that you agree it has to be replaced?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay, Jay?
I think the concept of a very limited meeting, namely just having the budget, is a good one. My biggest concern in all of this is there's still a 50-person limit. I don't think we can actually hold a meeting. And so a lot of this becomes moot at that point. So I don't know how we proceed other than assume that we'll be able to have a meeting, but maybe have to call it off. If we get 75 people showing up and we can't have more than 50, what are we going to do?
Yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying, and I agree. Marjorie and I have discussed a couple of things, like, you know, can we have a split meeting if we connect them by technology and have clerks and moderators at both meetings? And I a lot of it's going to depend on what guidance comes down from the state. The good news is we're not the only ones facing this.
Right.
People are working on the problem. So I think our part, for our part, I think we just try to keep it as lean as possible. Go ahead.
I can't raise my hand.
Go ahead, Donna. It's okay. And then I'll let Jay speak after.
I guess my feeling is that if we keep this as lean as possible, we may not have 50 people who come because people are not wanting to gather. You know, that's very obvious. And if there's nothing on there that's, you know, that people feel passionate about, I wouldn't be surprised if we only got a handful of people who show up. I think that that's the wise part of not including a lot of these topics. It will keep people, I think it's going to keep people away as opposed to, you know, and it will be as long. But I think people just won't come. I think that people are going to say, okay, they're doing the best they can. Unless there's a red flag, I doubt if we get many people at this meeting.
That's certainly the idea. Jay, go ahead.
Yeah, that is the concept. But I think that if we start out with let's think about this in a little bit larger framework for a minute. If we look at this and say, we're going to do the finances as the town meeting now, and let's say 2 months later, September or maybe October, we will do a meeting where we catch up on all these other issues. And if people understand that, they'll understand we need to get the budget through, we need to hold a town meeting. Now, we're locked into this 50 unless that changes, and it could change, but I would just, even if it changed and they said you could have 300 people, I would leave it at just doing this bit now with a view that we're going to have another meeting later on, and I would make that known.
Yeah.
So that people know that there's a plan and that we're going to fulfill what we need to now.
Okay, thank you. I agree with that. To pick up on Donna's comment regarding non-residents to speak, I just sort of wanted to be clear on that. It certainly is something we have always done to keep things wide open and to allow taxpayers who aren't registered voters here to have their say. I just want to sort of underscore the fact that we're not required to do that. And I'm not suggesting any that we take any different action than what Donna's suggesting, but I just want to be clear that the only people who really need to, we can't keep other people from attending. I think it's a public gathering, but for voting and debating and speaking, we certainly could limit it to just registered voters if we wanted to. And again, I'm not suggesting that. Mark,
well, I think that that's why we have a Warren article. People can vote to say no, they don't want to let people speak. But I think there's never been a year where we shouldn't, that was more important to make everyone realize, everyone understand that we want to hear from everybody.
I don't disagree with you, Donna. I'm just kind of laying the groundwork. Mark, go ahead.
I would like to see us leave an opportunity for anybody that might think they have changed their mind and they'd like to be written in for selectmen or school board to speak. In other words, the candidates form part. And I think I would like to see us leave in the opportunity for non-residents to speak if they so wish.
Okay, Jay?
I don't mean to be contrary, but do we require all those non-residents to quarantine for 2 weeks before they come to the meeting?
Well, our guidance on how to conduct yourself at this meeting and come there is a very relevant point.
I mean, there are a lot of people from outside of Maine that own summer houses here that, you know, often come to these meetings.
Well, I think that should be part of the presentation that anyone who's in quarantine, unfortunately, is not eligible to come to the meeting. It could be me. If I had to go and see my sister who's in New Hampshire, I'd have to quarantine for 2 weeks and when I came home, and I would not be able to go. And I think we need that. That's a point that should be made.
David?
I see no reason why we can't do a hybrid meeting whereby people could tune in via Zoom. It's going to be a little bit tough. I mean, I don't even know if we'll have the hall, whatever. But I think regardless of how we do the meeting, I think an opportunity for people to come in remotely would be appropriate. And even including voting members, I mean, just the fact that we're doing this meeting right now in the way we are, I suspect the state is going to allow town meetings to proceed likewise. But that's supposition on my part.
Yeah, it's unclear yet what the guidance is going to be, but they are working on it, and we just sort of need to stay flexible. And the good news is that we're small, and I think if we just have these discussions and stay on the same page with each other, that we'll be able to make these decisions as they come up.
Yeah, Long Island is going to say, be in early June, so they will have, we will see what happens with them.
David, go ahead.
Yeah, the other thing I wanted to say was that along the lines of the discussion we've been having, I think it's going to be important to be as inclusive as possible with our summer residents. And it's just not going to be, you know, it's not going to be easy to do it, but it certainly is easy to do things that can make the matters worse.
I don't disagree. Okay. Marjorie, do you want sort of some definitive guidance with a motion, or are you happy with the discussion we just had and the consensus in terms?
No, I can do a draft, and you know.
Okay.
I'm fine.
Okay. Do we need to discuss this anymore? I see Beverly's got her hand up, and I'll let the board finish, and then we'll let Beverly talk. Any further comments from the board on the topic of specifically the warrant? In terms of, you know, how we're going to try to form it. Okay. So we'll open it up to the public. Beverly has her hand up. Beverly, you can unmute. Go ahead.
What David said was exactly what I was going to say. I would really very much enjoy listening to the meeting. I don't have to be a voter knowing that it's probably going to go through, and would enjoy being at home listening to the meeting. I think opening it up to Zoom for the public would be a really good thing.
Okay, thank you.
That doesn't happen often.
What, did I thank Beverly?
No, that Beverly agrees with me.
Write that down.
Yeah, what's the day? Make sure that's in the minutes. Okay, so this is sort of a two-part exercise here, and I've got the other topic that Marjorie wanted to take up, which is more specific on the agenda, which is how we have in the past and how we can next year maybe address everything we've been talking about here by thinking a little bit differently about the interest that we charge for delinquent taxes or taxes that are delayed in being paid. Marjorie, do you want to go ahead and introduce that concept in a better way?
Sure. You know, every year when we have the annual town meeting, and it's no different than the other town. I mean, this is usually one of the last articles, and everybody's tired and they just want to get out of there. And this is one of the articles that just kind of passes quickly because people are just tired and they don't want to they don't want to be there anymore. But we have to have an article in there to set our due dates. Number one, that's pretty easy. But then we set an interest rate that we're going to charge on delinquent taxes. And we have always charged the maximum. The maximum this year is 9%. Last year we had 8%. So I thought that maybe something that we could do for next year's taxes is reduce that interest rate to 5% as a for instance. It's something that we could do, you know, just given the uncertain times. And I'm just throwing it out there. Most towns just go with the maximum allowed by the state.
I guess I agree with Marjorie that we should cut it, and I might even be in favor of cutting it more than that. I think it shows good faith for 1 year that we know that people have had a lot of issues. We have a lot of people who they're able to keep their family homes that have been in their families for 100 years is because they rent them to help pay the taxes. And this year, they're probably not going to be able to get that rental income. And I think this would be something that we could do, knowing that it was just 1 year. So I would even do 1%, 2%, or 3%.
And Marjorie, would you remind us of what the relationship is between the rate for that we would pay for overpaid taxes and the interest rate? They are tied in some way, aren't they? One of them sets a threshold for the other.
It has to be, or it can't be any more than 4 points less than the interest we charge. In other words, the setting the interest rate for abated and overpaid taxes. Now, I mean, if you look at the authorization to accept prepayments, we have that, and we don't pay interest on a simple prepayment. The only time, and honestly, I've never even had it come about, the next one that says set an interest rate for abated and overpaid taxes, the way that comes in is if we make a mistake on the assessment and somebody pays us, let's say their taxes are $10,000, but we've made a mistake. And so when we make that correction, this and had to do an abatement, that's the situation where this would come about.
Okay, Jay, go ahead.
Marjorie, how much money are we talking about on both the amount of interest that we charge on late taxes, as well as the last point that you were talking about, where there's been an overpayment?
I've never had that situation, really, where I had to pay somebody that they'd already paid their taxes, and I had to do an abatement and then give them back interest. I was looking for my treasurer's report so I could look at the the amount. I'm looking at the amount of money that we collect for delinquent taxes. The interest.
Right.
Probably. So we've only taken in $1,775, but let me look at for the last 5 years, just quickly, if you don't mind.
No.
So it ranges, like 1 year it was $7,900, $6,000. For 2019, it was actually $9,200. So, you know, it's quite a bit of money.
Right, but if we actually cut the interest rate we charge in half, we're talking about 4,000 or 4,500 would be a big number difference, and otherwise it would be less.
Yeah. This is probably more of an incentive issue than it is a revenue issue.
That's sort of where I'm trying to go.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. It's an incentive to get people to pay on time so they don't have to pay interest.
Right.
Well, that bodes for the higher rate.
Correct.
Right.
As opposed to the lower rate.
Correct.
So, I guess my point is that people might be hard up next year, and it wouldn't be that they were just trying, you know, that they just couldn't come up with the money when it was due.
Yeah, I think it's appropriate. I think certainly reducing it's appropriate, whether it's 5% or 2%. I don't think it makes a lot of difference to Jay's point, but I think the concept is a good one. It is one small thing we can do. David, go ahead.
I just wanted to say I doubt that there are very many people who really pay their property taxes with an eye to getting money at some lower percent of interest by delaying the payment. And that's that I agree with Donna. I think what we're talking about here is giving people a break, and if a couple of people manage to take advantage of that, I think it's more likely that the people who don't pay are in a position where they really can't pay. So I would be in favor of, my first thought was 5%, but I might go to 4%. In fact, would you like a motion?
Yeah, I'd accept a motion at this point.
Right. I would like to move, not sure what the language is because that part of the page is down. Is it the interest rate?
The first set due dates and interest rates.
Yes, okay. So I move that the interest rate on delinquent taxes be set at 4% for the coming fiscal year.
I'll second that.
Okay. Further discussion from the board on the topic? And open it up to the public. Raise your hand if you'd like to speak on the motion. Seeing none, I will take a roll call vote. Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Main is a yes, passes unanimous. Thank you. Do you want to set the dates now to Marjorie? Should we do that?
We always just have the last day in September and the last day in March. I see no reason to change those dates.
Any objection to that?
No,
it's fine.
We're used to it. If you change it one day, they'll get mixed up. No. I would get mixed up.
And any other actions we need to take on? How about the interest rate for abated overpaid taxes, Marjorie? Do we need to set that with a motion at this point?
I was just going to leave it at 2%.
Okay. Anything from the board? Go ahead, David.
I just have a procedural question. If we don't vote on this at town meeting, does the current rate stay in place or does it become a non?
We have to vote on this at town meeting.
Okay, so then this becomes an item that actually does go back into our warrant?
Correct.
Yeah, it wasn't one of the ones that
it's
was.
It's part of the commitment process. We have to have this information in order to commit taxes.
So is the same true of the interest rate that at town meeting we have to approve it at 4% now? Or have we already done that?
Today? Yeah. Yes. No, that's a town meeting. Yes. The only exception is, and I'll bring up in the packet, the MMA article that Marjorie put in there. This is probably a good time to review that. Let's see if I can reshare my screen. So this MA memo from May 13th talks about these issues, and here basically this is the guidance that Marjorie's just given us, so we don't need to go through it in any great detail. But there is, as I understand it, there is, where did I read it?
Up. It's above what you had just highlighted. This one, extending 2019 property tax. I thought I said earlier that I don't think we need to do anything with that because we've already collected 95% of our taxes.
Right. But this one is what we just took a vote on, isn't it?
Yeah.
The interest rate.
That's for towns that wanted to just use last year's budget as this year's budget.
Right, that's the point I'm about to make, is that if we cannot have a town meeting, we can't make this decision without going sort of by all the rules in this statute. But if we cannot have a town meeting, we do have the option, as I read this, to basically keep last year's budget, keep last year's commitment and percentages, I think. Oh no, and then we do have the authority to set the percentages. I'm sorry, I didn't bust this out in great detail. Am I correct in that, Marjorie, that the municipal officers, if they use this emergency measure,
it suspends this statutory requirement. The top line of the page you're on. That one above, one paragraph. There you go.
Approved by the legislature of the town or city's council, suspends the statutory requirement. Yeah, and I think then we can set the interest rate as municipal officers if we accept this. So I'm not suggesting we need to take this up tonight. What I'm suggesting is that you should read it and understand it. If you have questions, ask Marjorie. It is something that, depending on how things go, you know, we may need to invoke. But again, it's not tonight. I think tonight we proceed with the fact that we believe we're going to be able to have some sort of meeting. We want it to be efficient, minimized. We want to address all the things that we talked about tonight. But there is this sort of this option in the background should we need it, as I understand it.
It does say that this should be viewed as a last resort.
Exactly. Exactly. Right there. And so we'll see. So, but I'm just making you aware that this is an important piece for you to understand. You know, things can change fast, and we just need to know what our options are. Okay, I don't have anything else on regular business for this evening. I think we've addressed the agenda items I've had there. So if there's no objection, I will move on to, we don't have any outstanding votes, right? We just did the rest by consensus. So I would move on to communications. And I guess what I wanted to recognize in communications, and I'm going to stop sharing my screen just to avoid confusion. We all had a correspondence with Matt Ridgway about dredging on May 5th. I think David or somebody responded to that. Do we have any news on any new news on dredging, Marjorie?
Well, there's been some activity. They've been contacting Gennaro about the moorings. We sent them a map of locations of the moorings. So there seems to be some activity. And we have a new project manager, but you know, he's been our project manager for a while now. I expressed our unhappiness at the delay in this project. So things seem to be moving, but you know, they always say, oh, it'll only be a couple months and we'll have that feasibility study to you. You know, it's okay. Every time we talk to them, it's next yeah. month, you know.
Well, let's keep pushing on it and be really a squeaky wheel on this one.
I did send him a previous email and this current email from Matt.
Great.
Felt like that was important for him to get a perspective.
And we're keeping CTC informed of all these little developments?
Not really. I mean, my correspondence with the project manager?
Well, the fact that there's some activity, I mean, are they aware that there's been some activity and that the Harbor Master is in communication with the project manager? I think just as a courtesy to let them know that there's some activity wouldn't be a bad idea.
Did somebody get back to Matt Ridgway after that last letter, after his letter?
I acknowledged it and said I was going to do just what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, so I think it might be a good idea just to, you know, somebody just to outline what Marjorie just said that, you know, and David said that we're still plugging away.
Yeah,
and
I did send a copy of the letter that I got back to Matt.
Okay. Anything further on the dredging topic or Matt's communications? Okay. I also have gotten a call from Penny Asherman, who is the president of the Sheboygan Cumberland Land Trust. I've had a couple of informational sorts of communications with her, one of which was just this evening. They're actually meeting tonight as well. The topic is Sanford's Pond. Jackie Trask has approached the Sheboygan Cumberland Land Trust with the idea of gifting Sanford's Pond to the Land Trust. Penny was calling me to find out what discussions we've had as a board, and so I informed her of my take on it, that we did indeed talk to Jackie about it, and we looked at a number of things and decided not to do anything. I indicated that we don't have a recreation department in the town, and that whatever we do would probably be a cooperative effort, that we don't have staff to do anything down there necessarily. I think we may still hear, and I did end the conversation by saying I think the board would be open to any ideas or options that you'd like to present. And I hope I speak for the board when I say that. So I do think we will probably hear something from them. She contacted me tonight and said, you know, what's our status with town meeting and how's that working? So I explained where we were at with that process, and suggested that we would defer items like this probably till later in the year, which she just wanted to make sure that if she didn't get on the annual town meeting, that there might be other opportunities.
I was under the impression that Jackie withdrew her offer as opposed to us saying we didn't want it, because I don't think it ever got to that point.
Well, basically our silence is saying.
No, Jackie specifically decided she didn't want to do it with the town.
Okay, I wasn't aware of that, if that's the case. I just think we never took any action on it. She went out elsewhere. That's what I thought.
No.
But thank you. We never got any communication.
Okay. I thought she told people that. She told me. I thought that she had officially told the town.
Okay. So that is a different light. I did not let Penny know that because I was not aware of it or didn't remember it. Depending on what she approaches, she was indicating that they weren't really that interested in owning property. They were more interested in owning easements on property and stewardship of that property. So I have a feeling that they're going to come back and suggest the town own the land and that they would become the stewards of the property. That's the gist of what I thought I heard her say, though there was no real specificity to it. Jay, go ahead. Did you have something, Jay? You're muted, yeah.
Hi, sorry about that.
Sorry.
I think Jackie left it, if memory serves, that she had to go back. She had presented us something from her attorney, and then when she actually read what the attorney had presented, it was, that's not what I meant, and she had to go back to her attorney. And I think that was the last we ever heard.
And I was the liaison I was going to work with her. And maybe I thought she had said something to somebody in the town, but that's how she told me that she had decided not to work with the town.
Okay. Well, whatever.
Okay. So I'm giving you that communication with Penny. I've had one phone call and an email with her. And she also expressed this evening in the email that she wanted to, going forward, the Land Trust was interested in developing a little bit more of a relationship with the town of Sheboygan, and working sort of jointly, at least in exchange of information or that sort of thing. So I offer that up to you guys too. And I'll, if I get, if this develops any further, I would just copy everybody on the email. I wasn't sure where this was going to go, but I will involve other people in the email chain. Okay, so that's where that stands. I wanted to acknowledge Chip Emery's snail mail to us all, which was basically thanking us for putting a little bit of money into the broadband account, and for acknowledging that and encouraging us to go forward was the gist of it, as I understood it. Just wanted to get that in that communication on the record. Marjorie and I have had, we've all had, you tell me if that's true or not. Have we all had communication between Ms. LeDuc Kuntz and, or is that just Marjorie and I?
With who?
With the Kuntzes over by Sanford's Ponds, that property right on the corner.
I don't know anything about it.
Okay. Marjorie received a letter or an email asking her to forward it to me on May 13th. The proposal was I should read it. I guess I thought everybody got up. The proposal was they were interested in entering into a short-term lease with the town in order to create a public garden of some sort on that property adjacent to Sanford's Pond, but that they would probably need help clearing the land and, tearing down the house probably. I told her that I would bring it up in communication, see if the board, how the board wanted to reply to that. And I think what I probably should do is forward the whole email to you, and I probably should have done that before this. But I wanted to make you at least aware of the communication and the proposal. I basically said just what we decided tonight to her, that we were not likely to take up items like this on the current, on the next annual town meeting, that any sort of land items like this would be taken up at a later date, so that she shouldn't expect any quick action on this, but that I would inform you, and I will forward that email to you all after this. And I think that's where it sets right now. I will report to her via email and include the board on that email that we discussed it at this meeting, and that I would leave it to the board to take it up at a future date. The only other thing, I guess Marjorie already covered Chief Monroe's discussion of a disinfection decontamination room on this public safety building. I was going to bring it up here because he called me directly and had a conversation about it, indicating that he does not have, he's having, I think Alex Buxbaum do some sort of a quote or a sketch or some sort of thing that we could act on. And I asked him to make sure he had his information together before he brought it to us. Did indicate that we would try to be flexible if there are other ways to do it. We talked over a couple of alternatives besides an addition, including like a decontamination trailer, which is what we use in our industry, in the environmental consulting industry, which you can't rent right now, obviously. Talked about the possibility of using a facility like the rec center, which isn't being used, which has showers and easily deconned. He's still pursuing the add-on to the building as the primary source, but I just want to let you know we discussed other options. And that's all. You heard Marjorie's report, which is as up to date as anything I have to say. I just wanted to let you know that I had that conversation with him. That's all I have for communication. Yes, ma'am.
Regarding, I thought that was great thinking outside the box about the rec center. Was there any discussion about that with the rec center to use as some kind of an interim while they're still closed and until we can get something built?
I certainly made Chief Monroe aware of that, and he's working with Steve Afon anyways, because Steve is a volunteer on the fire department. So I suspect, you know, if Ralph, after that conversation, brought it up, they did or not. I don't know for a fact that he's pursued that. He seems to be, I did have a subsequent conversation, and he seems to be more geared towards the addition, even in the short term.
I understand that, but something could happen between now and the time they built something if they don't even have an estimate. I'm just thinking.
Yeah, he seemed more concerned with people having to strip down to their skivvies in the freezing cold next winter than he was, you know, outside, because that's what they're doing. They're I guess they're shedding their gear outside and going in and showering in the showers now, and then deconning the whole process, I think, is what they're doing right now. Oh. So I think they're just looking at a way to, you know, enter through a separate entrance, be able to remove your gear, protective gear, and take a shower without entering the current building, I think is what they're looking to do. Okay, anything else on communications? Anybody else have communications they want to convey?
Did Mark want to talk about the Allstate's thing?
I kind of thought other business might be the place.
Okay. Any other communications? Okay. Hearing none, let's move on to the next agenda item, which is I'll accept a motion to approve the May 6th minutes.
So move.
Second.
Thank you. I will, if there's no discussion on that motion, but from the public or us, seeing none, I will take a roll call vote. Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Main is a yes. That passes unanimous. Thank you very much. Okay, other business. Go ahead, Mark.
Thank you, Herb. As you all probably pretty well know, last Wednesday, Jerry Douglas from Allstate Asphalt came out. I picked him up on the 1015 CTC ferry. We rode around and looked at every possible road that we could fit into this year's proposed road work for chip sealing as well as Firehouse Road. Marjorie has sent you all that proposal from Allstate Asphalt. If you want me to go down through each road real quick, I will. If not, does everybody understand the pricing and proposal for work?
I think it sounds great. I think that we're getting close to completing our road plan. We still have a few little things to do, a couple of roads that need to be done, but I think we've made great progress and we should continue on.
Okay. I also sent you all an email tonight at 5:22 p.m. I apologize for that. I wasn't trying to force it into this meeting. The gist of that email was basically to let you all know that we have about $197,000 currently in our paving line item area. And if we ask the we're asking the voters for another $186,000, which brings it up to about $383,000, I believe, if voted in. If we decide to do the work that's proposed in this contract, which we are recommending that we consider having Marjorie plan to do with Allstate Asphalt in the fall, that would leave a balance, if the people approve the $186,000, of just under $100,000, $99,000 and change. So that won't entirely improve and pave the Stone Wharf Road, but it still will leave us some money in there if we want to make a good plan and maybe try to get it widened and then resurface it another year. And any questions from anybody about the proposed work specifically that we're proposing for this year?
Go ahead, Marjorie.
So do you want me to sign this contract, this proposal?
That's my motion. That's my recommendation.
I just shared the proposal, just in case there's any questions.
Now, will that have a clause in it that's contingent upon funding from town meeting?
I think they're pretty aware of working with municipalities.
Okay. No, I just didn't know if we had to, you know, if that was covered.
Do we need an actual motion?
I think we should, yeah. Unless the board would like to have an agenda item and put it on there. We can do it next time if the board prefers, but I would like to accept this by motion at some point. David? You're muted, sir.
I'll move to accept the bid from, who's it from?
Allstate's Paving.
Allstate, thank you. Move to accept the bid from Allstate's asphalt as dated March 18th for work to be done on the island, plus exploratory work to be done on Stone Wharf Road regarding at least widening perhaps this year.
Okay, is there a second to that motion?
I'll second it.
Okay.
I'll second it with the amendment that it's not March, it's May.
So it's 5 instead of 4. Got it.
Well, it's actually 3 would be March, so.
What did I say?
It's okay. We got it.
18-2020.
Go ahead, Mark.
I just want to let everybody know that my time with Jerry was a little bit limited, but we did measure Stone Wharf Road by length. I have asked him to, at some point, send us a number, even if it's a little bit rough, of what at least the asphalt cost would be for the length of the Stone Wharf Road, using a base for now of 30 feet of asphalt. That can be changed either way, according to what we come up with for a design. I just thought it would be helpful to know what we might be up against for a total resurfacing of a widening project for that road.
Thank you, Mark. Was there a second to David's motion?
I seconded it.
Okay, thank you, Donna. I guess my only question is regarding how we do this. But I think it's a fairly simple question. There's quite a bit of road surfacing here in terms of the chip seal, double chip seal. So there's a couple of miles of chip seal. That's a lot of material to bring over. Last time we did this, we raised a few hackles down at Bennett's Cove. This material can be stockpiled. It does not have a shelf life. So I would just sort of encourage us to think about how we get the material over here, if we can do anything to alleviate the past practices that we've had in terms of like bringing 50 loads over in the course of a week or two or something like that. I don't know how flexible asphalts all states can be with that, but if they can be, it might be worth the conversation. Any other comments on the motion or the proposal? Okay, hearing none. I have lost my participants window. Okay, I have attendees back up. Is there any comment from the public? Seeing none, I will take a vote. Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Main is a yes, passes unanimous. Thank you, everybody. Mark, do you have anything else for under other business?
I don't. If you read my email, some of it is probably directed for Marjorie's consideration as far as culvert replacement and drainage is included in that email. And the only reason I'm including it is because I care about our investment.
Yep.
Yeah. It's a good way to.
Yeah, well, yeah, normally the road committee is, you know, is working with the road commissioner and talking about these sorts of things. So it's fine. David, did you have your hand up?
No, I didn't.
Okay. I have one topic that I don't know that we're going to be able to take any action on tonight, but I just wanted to, again, sort of put it in your ears. Marjorie and I discussed it a little earlier this week in a phone conversation. We are coming into the season where Vittler's licenses and special amusement licenses are coming up, and we're starting to talk about these things. We haven't had a real conversation about if this board is going to look at those in any differently this year because of COVID-19 or because of anything else. And the main thing I've been thinking about is that we tend to be fairly relaxed about, with the Vittler's license especially, with regard to inspections. Our fire chief always does the inspections, but the health inspections are less frequent. The state is supposed to do them, but they rarely do because of just the staffing levels that they have and the amount of work they need to do. They depend on municipalities for the health officers to do it. In the past, we have, our health officer has done some of this, but my understanding is that recently, in the last few years, we really haven't done much of, in the way of these sorts of inspections. Is that accurate, Marjorie, in terms of?
That's right. And Vika's doing a lot of work from home right now, so she hasn't been in the office. She usually does, as a town clerk, she does this. But I've been reading the both ordinances, the special amusements ordinance and the victualler's license ordinance, and I just want to make sure that I'm following it. For renewals, it says that we will grant a renewal upon proper certification and a successfully completed, where does it say that? Applications for renewal may be made to the town clerk by certifying in writing that all state requirements have been met. In other words, before you open a restaurant, you're supposed to have an inspection by the Department of Health and Human Services. And there's a little, certificate that you get. And I couldn't find in any of the files that we even had an original certificate. So I'm just asking that people give me a copy of that.
You're asking applicants to give you a copy?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, Herb, I think that if in fact the state is not doing these inspections, that maybe this year specifically because of the COVID and all that, that maybe we should have Anita come and do inspections.
Marjorie, is that a practical request on the Board of Selectmen's part?
It's fine. I mean, it says for new applications.
So if they can't provide the certificate that you're talking about, should the board, is it your recommendation that the board should require that before we issue at least a Vittler's license this year?
I'm just going by what it says for renewal. Most of what we have is a renewal. I do have one. I got a comment from an applicant that, we should also be looking at people that prepare food in their homes for public consumption, and where we haven't been doing that. So I'd like some guidance on that as well.
So is this like a catering service, or is it a... is there somebody operating as a business?
The comment from the business owner was, look, I pay my licenses in order to do these things, but there are people that prepare food in their homes for public consumption that don't have licenses and don't have victualler's licenses that are probably required by Department of Health. You know, how far do you want me to go with it? That's what our ordinance says.
Yeah.
This is for anyone that prepares food for public consumption.
Well, I think that we should treat everybody the same. If we're requiring some people who do that kind of work to have, because I know you have to have separate sinks and there's a lot of criteria. Everybody should be treated the same.
Go ahead, Mark.
Marjorie, are you saying that if a business applies for a victuals license and they can show that they've had an inspection, that they should be issued that in your slash our opinion?
The way I read it, it says an application for renewal may be made to the town clerk by certifying in writing that all state requirements have been met. So the way I read that is that they're supposed to prove to us that all their state requirements have been met. The town clerk will grant a renewal upon proper certification and a successfully completed municipal inspection. And I take that to mean the fire department inspection. But then if you go back to the definition of an inspection, it says by the municipal fire chief or his designee and the municipal health officer.
I think a few years ago we changed how, or somebody changed how we did it, because the state came down with that they were going to be in charge of all these inspections, and whether we just defaulted to the state. But I think Marjorie's raised some good points, and I was concerned at the time that happened that the state wasn't really going to come down here and do anything. So if they're not really coming down, then I think we have to pick it up ourselves.
Mark, did you have something?
Well, what I never want to do is make it more rigid locally or try to be more. We can't make it. We can't override state law, and we can't, you know. So I never want to do that. But I don't think that, given the situation that we're in health-wise, having Anita check in with the businesses to make sure that they're in compliance and have a good plan if they're opening for takeout or curbside only. I just don't think that's asking too much.
Okay. Are we in agreement as a board then? I did just put that up in case anybody wants to see it. And I wanted to point out one thing on all of these ordinances. Down here in section 108, this ordinance shall be administered by the town administrator and may be enforced by the municipal offices or law enforcement offices with jurisdiction in the town of Chesapeake Island. So in all of these cases, Marjorie and whoever the town administrator is and our staff administrates these things, which means make sure the paperwork is in order and make sure the contacts happen and all that. But it is this board and this entity that does the enforcement. So we should feel compelled to do that if there are people who we need to do that, and we should be clear on how we expect the town staff to respond to these things. So that's why I brought it up. So I'm happy taking this up at a separate meeting, although my understanding is that we do have some licenses in the queue right now, Marjorie, for Vittler's and special amusements.
Yes, and after the inspections are done by the fire chief, then we are, for the special amusement licenses, the ordinance requires you to have a hearing for those.
Even
I don't have the inspections yet.
And that's even for a renewal on the special amusement.
Yes.
All right. So that will come before the board. But the Vittler's licenses can be renewed without coming back to the board, is what I heard you say earlier.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So do you have enough guidance with respect to handling the I don't know if it was rises to the a complaint or at least the information you got? Do you have enough information from the board to handle that?
Right. But did you just say that you wanted me to have Anita Anderson come out, or you did not want her to come out?
Donna suggested that we do that, and I'm going to ask for some consent on that, given the current scenario with COVID-19, if we want to make sure that inspection happens. So why don't we take that up as a, let's just run down the list. David, do you have any comment on whether we should take on that step as a municipality?
I don't. I think it'll work itself out.
Okay. Jay? You have any comments?
I'm of several minds about it. I sort of think, like David says, it'll work its way out.
Okay. Mark?
I think she should pay a visit and just check in with the businesses and see what they look like and see what their plans are for operating during this pandemic.
Yeah. How many Vittler's license do we get? It's like three, right?
Oh, let's see. The inn isn't opening this year. Well, they already sent in their application, though. So let's see. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, I think.
Okay. Do we have the budget to have Anita come over and do those inspections?
She gets paid.
Yeah. Okay. I guess I would be inclined to agree with Donna and Mark that there's little harm in doing this. And basically what she's going to do is an inspection and give us the results of the report. And we're still the enforcement agent on this. So it's just it's more information for us. So with the two gentlemen that suggested that we don't do anything, would you like a vote, or are you happy with sort of a majority?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Are we good with that? Marjorie, do you have enough to go to work with?
Yes.
And I think that if in fact one of these people, I mean, some, it sounds like some are maybe new, but some of the old ones, if they have that certificate from the state, then it wouldn't be necessary for Anita to check in.
Well, that's what I'd
kind of
like to know.
Yeah, I would be fine with that.
Do you have anybody presented one of those certificates?
I couldn't find anything in the files. And
Okay. So then just not to confuse it, just can you come and check everybody?
I say that again, Donna.
I said, well, then not to confuse anybody, then anything, then I was trying to make it easier, but then maybe just have her check everybody, and then we have at least a place to start, a basis.
Yeah, I think this year it would be, you know, it would behoove us to get a report from those places, and just as a little extra measure of whatever, you know, a little extra attention on our part certainly doesn't hurt. All right, anything further on that topic? Okay. So with that, if there's no other business, anyway, David, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to make a motion to adjourn after thanking Beverly, Chip, Melissa, and Ruth for hanging in for this past 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Agreed. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second it.
Okay, we'll let Jay second it, and I will do a roll call vote.
Can you stop by tomorrow and sign this warrant?
Me specifically?
I need at least three.
Oh, okay. So it's a regular warrant. Yeah.
Do you have takeout coffee or anything?
Yes.
Okay. Donuts.
I can leave it outside.
Thank you.
All right, you two are out of order. We've got a motion on the floor here. You guys good? All right, Mr. Corson.
Yes.
Ms. Damon?
Yes, and I, with a caveat, I told my husband this was going to be a really quick meeting. He doesn't believe me anymore.
Well, it's over an hour, so No, it's 2 hours. Oh, my God.
That's what I mean. Yeah. I just looked at the clock.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I thought it was going to be.
It is what it is.
Thank you all for hanging in there. Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
And Mr. Main, passes unanimous. Everybody stay safe and be healthy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night.